What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When New Yorkers buy a place with Street Easy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
And we're coming to you live for the Build 4 Tough Studio. Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on the fans, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network and wherever you are in the free Odyssey app. Good Tuesday morning. We are back together again. Unfortunately, this morning we are opening with a tragic story that touches not only local New York City, but also the NFL and the NFL offices. And of course, if you were paying attention, you saw that there was an active shooter situation in Midtown yesterday. Unfortunately, four people lost their lives, including an NYPD officer. And as the story unfolds, and this morning in the New York Post, they have an exclusive that the gunman who killed an officer and three other people in Midtown was carrying a note that offered clues into his possible motive. Sources told the Post, Shane Tamora, 27, cited the NFL in the writings, which were found after he turned the gun on himself on the 33rd floor of 345 Park Avenue. A skyscraper that houses the Football League's headquarters. He also, in the note, which was several pages long, Tamora blamed football for his apparent struggle with the neurodegenerative disease, CTE, law enforcement sources said. He shot himself in the chest, also asked his brain be studied in the note, according to the sources. So, of course, the first thing you think about is the innocent lives that were lost for absolutely no reason. And then you now fold in this story and something we've been talking about for a very long time, you know, the NFL and concussions and CTE and this and that. And I don't know how much football contributed to this man's issues. I have no idea. I don't know if we're ever going to find that out, if the brain does get studied or not. But I mean, this was just a pure tragedy that hit a lot of the things that we care about deeply here on the program, which is football, which is New York City, which is officers who protect this city. So this was a tough one yesterday to watch, and even tougher this morning as some of the details come out.
Yeah, I just one correction. I think killed four people.
Yeah, I said four. In addition to the police officer. Yes,
right. Okay,
so three
in the addition to the police officer. Yeah. Right, and actually the police officer. That's the name I want to use. I don't want to use the shooter's name at all. Is Didriel Islam. He's 36 years old, and he's an immigrant from Bangladesh, and he was a part of the NYPD. And we have this NYPD jersey here that is reflective of three other slain officers in the line of duty. Amazing how quickly they responded and how sad this is and how sick this person is to do something like this. You know, the other thing I thought last night watching all of this unfold is I thought NYPD Commissioner Jessica Tisch was amazing. I thought her tone, her professionalism, her compassion really came through. I don't know how to play it. You know, when you have tragedies like this and you have leaders standing up in front of a microphone, that is the person that delivered the message that I was like, wow, She's really, she knows how to deliver a message, especially a hard one like this. The NFL employee, I believe, is somebody I didn't know personally. I do know people who do know him. As of last night, he was critical but stable.
You're talking about the NFL employee.
The NFL employee, yep. And hopefully today we'll get a little bit better news about his present condition. But, yeah, you know, all it takes is one psycho to find a gun and try to do something. And as the mayor said last night, you know, it's almost impossible to stop.
Yeah.
It's the reaction that ultimately ends up ending the ordeal, or, you know, this person took his own life on the 33rd floor of 345 of Park Avenue, which is where the NFL offices are, Blackstone offices are. It was shocking, to say the least, especially with all the tenseness around the city about different issues and political issues and, you know, world geopolitic issues. That you just never know why something like this happens. And then you hear that this shooter is blaming the NFL or blaming football for his problems and wants to have his brain studied. I'd like to throw his brain out.
Yeah.
And because there's really actually nothing as weak and sad as something like this when somebody decides to take something into their own hands and ends up just mowing down people that you can't even imagine, like the PTSD that's going to be left behind of the other people who were not shot but were barricading themselves into their offices. And it's we'll hear more and more stories as the days go by. But this was shocking last night, you know, from a sports perspective, trying to watch a Yankee game and then all of a sudden this happens, and or getting ready to watch a Yankee game, this happens, and you're just like completely distracted from everything in sports, and you realize that it's real life, and some psycho decides that he's going to take the lives of others and is going to shoot people in the back and just go up there and spray bullets in an office. It's just insane.
Yeah, of course. And that's why it's tough, because you want to mention the fact that, you know, the motive. Everyone wants to know what's going on, and he writes about the NFL and writes about CTE, but we really have no idea in the reporting, you know, he did play football. For a while, you know, didn't play in the pros, but did play football. But we have no idea how much that contributed to anything that was going on in his head, if at all. But, you know, the issue is he goes to the NFL offices and he writes in this note about CT in the NFL and says, I want my brain studied. So now the NFL is tied into this thing, you know, and for many, many years, you know, back when you were playing, you know, the concussion stuff wasn't taken as seriously. You know, there were many years that there were guys that were working for the NFL and they'd go on trial and they talk about how, you know, football isn't connected to concussions and the long-term brain damage and all this stuff. Obviously, that's a thing of the past. The NFL makes more decisions regarding player safety, whether they're just trying to cover their ass or actually care about the players, doesn't matter at this point because the players are more protected. And I think after that movie Concussion, you know, things have changed in a major positive way for the NFL. When it comes to player safety. So, you know, I don't know how they respond to this, if at all. I mean, they're going to have to talk about it somehow, some way. I know Roger Goodell, this is the last thing he wants to think about. Hopefully his employee is safe and makes it through this. But, I mean, for this guy to write about the NFL and then kill himself in the NFL offices,
well,
and blame football for his issues is just, I mean, mind-blowing this morning when I read that.
If I remember correctly, on 345, the NFL offices are on floors 5 through 8. So this guy went up to the 33rd floor and then ended up killing himself up there, as well as spraying bullets up there, according to reports. So, I mean, this is just, it's stunning. You know, it actually is stunning. And then when something like this happens in a city of this size, and it's right in the heart of the city, for people who don't understand where this took place, I mean, this is right in the middle of Manhattan. And it doesn't get any more congested. It doesn't get any more. I mean, he double parked his BMW, got out, and had a rifle on his side. I mean, like, that is just absolutely insane.
Yeah, I mean, this is a man, right, he drove from Las Vegas. He had only been in the city for a couple of hours. I guess he stopped in Jersey. He was only there for a couple hours before he just drove up, double parked, got out of his car with this massive M4 rifle, and then did what he did.
And you know what? They'll now trace, of course, because this is always what happens. They'll trace his life. They'll trace his background. They'll look at his social media. They'll look at everything and find out what else, you know, maybe this guy was dealing with. There could have been personal issues. There could have been financial issues. There could have been criminal issues. There could have been all sorts of things that could have led to this and him leaving Las Vegas. Like, why did he decide to leave Las Vegas in a BMW? And did he have the money to actually own a BMW? Did he rent the BMW? I mean, there's a million things that they're going to be looking at and trying to get to the bottom of this so they have a better understanding as to why he did what he did. But, you know, it just the police reaction, you know, the first responders that run to it, other people, you know, unfortunately, you know, like the normal everyday citizen, you're not expecting something like this. And of course, you're going to do everything you can to possibly, you know, protect yourself. And there's a description of one of the victims who was trying to hide behind a, I guess, some sort of pillar or pole.
Yeah.
And she was killed. And that to me is about as weak and as just absolutely awful as you can even imagine.
Yeah, he also was a security guard who was crouching at his desk, and he also killed that man as well. There's no trying to understand it. There's really nothing you can say other than this is just a horrible situation, a horrible human being. And you think about the families, and you think about the victims, and you know, I just
what it, this guy's a coward.
Yeah,
I don't know how else to put it.
Well, pure definition of it. I mean, you've been in that building many times. I've been in that building a couple of times. I mean, it's Midtown Manhattan. You go into these lobbies, and just to think something like that can happen at any point here is just disconcerting. But the response was spectacular by the first responders, the police, and everybody around. And it you know, thank God it wasn't worse, but.
I'm just glad we have at least I don't know all the politics around all of it and all I know is that when the commissioner got up there and I think of our old buddy the commissioner of when anytime there was a tragedy they would stand up there and they would show their strength, their empathy, their understanding of the situation and how fluid it could be. And the way she did it was amazing. I thought she was amazing yesterday. And not the worst of circumstances. And this is what you want from, at least what I want from, and she's, you know, she's standing there trying to hold back the emotion as well.
Yeah.
And I don't know how you do that, but that's her job. That's what she has to do and has to deliver this news. And just awful, just absolutely awful. But it also goes to show you, you know, just how quickly they can respond. I mean, you know, reports started coming in, what, around 6:25, 6:28, somewhere
around there? Yeah, maybe a little bit earlier than that, yeah. But yeah, right
and
around.
And then, boom, I mean, literally within minutes, the police were there. And it shows the rapid response and the absolute intensity of the whole situation and how they reacted.
Yeah, James O'Neill was the guy that you were talking about,
who we got to
know for little bit during his stint as NYPD commissioner. So, I mean, you're always someone who is understanding public relations and how you handle these things. If you're the NFL, what do you do? I mean, do you release a statement? If you're Roger Goodell, do you hold a press conference? First and foremost, you know, the employee who is critically injured, But after that, like, you know, there will be some sort of management of this that they're going to talk about from a standpoint of, do we address this or do we not? What's the answer?
They're going to have to.
Yeah.
They're going to have to because there's also the CTE aspect of it, which is unfortunate. But, you know, and obviously they've done a million studies. They'll continue to do studies. They'll continue to try to figure out ways to keep the players safe. You know, it's a game we all love. And I've often said this, I would never change anything that I personally went through in terms of playing in the NFL and playing at Maryland and also playing at East Islip.
Yeah.
You know, it goes all the way back. And, you know, football is a rite of passage in this country for a lot of us young men, and we love it. And we basically understand the risks when you play.
Well, now, certainly. I mean, you know.
Well, I understood. You know, you have to remember, because in 95, and again, I don't, it's not about me, but in 95, I did take a sack against Bruce Smith up in Buffalo. Mm-hmm. And at that point in time, there was no concussion study. There was no, I mean, I took a wicked shot. And I believe I was the first player that was put in a concussion protocol for 4 weeks.
Yeah, because you were out cold there on the field.
Right. So they, the New York Jets, to their credit, put me in concussion protocol. And I remember I had to go up into either Scarsdale or somewhere up in Westchester, maybe Bronxville. And I was meeting with a neurologist, and it was like a constant thing. So I gave the Jets a lot of credit for that at that time. I didn't give credit to, you know, the decision to do what they did at left tackle. But after the fact, I felt very confident when I came back to the field that I was all concussion, symptom-free, and things of that nature. But I understand that there's when you go see concussion, and I went to go see concussion by myself. I sat in that movie theater just watching it going, all right, I can either play the victim or I can, you know, just say, hey, let's pray to God that for me anyway, personally, that nothing comes of it. And, you know, and hopefully I can continue to do what I do. And I've always felt a genuine love for the game of football and what it teaches men and how men should grow up and be tough and deal with the adversity that the game gives us. But also be mindful that there are potential problems for very, very serious injury, whether it be CTE long-term or whether it be dementia. It could be early-onset dementia. It could be anything. And but it's a risk that I was willing to take, and I know that today's players are willing to take it too.
Yeah, and I think that there's a huge difference from, you know, 1975 to 2025 and knowing what you're getting into. And, yes, you can't change the past, but if you are someone who wants to play football these days, you know all the risks that are involved and you're signing up for it. Whereas maybe, you know, back then you didn't know all the risks, but now 100% everybody understands, and you know, every single year there's another step towards player safety. And, you know, that's critical not only for the NFL, but also people want to play. And I love football too. I played, I loved it. It's still my favorite sport to watch. It's the greatest. I played with a guy in there, Brian Rascona, and JV football. We still have memories about that we share all these years later that only, you know, that game and that type of atmosphere could provide for me. I still, some of the principles that were set me, don't be late, you know, show up, do these things.
The virtues of football.
I mean, so to me, it's been a huge positive thing in my life, and I know that the NFL for many years was criticized for how they handled it. You can't, at this point in 2025, criticize them anymore of sweeping anything under the rug when it comes to player safety.
Well, I do know this, that there were a lot of players back in the day that did things to themselves that they don't want to stand up and take responsibility for, whether it be taking steroids, whether it be taking, you know, anti-inflammatories just like they were candy. Part of that is a doctor should be overseeing every single player on the team, and I think they got a much better handle on pain pills and a lot of the different pharmaceuticals that we were exposed to. I think a lot of that stuff has been locked down as compared to when I played and even before me. But, you know, sooner or later, there's got to be some personal responsibility about, like, what you did to yourself.
Yeah,
if you decided to go down that path and use steroids or use cocaine or use something else under the guise that you had to do it in order to play, I don't subscribe to that theory, but, you know, there has to be, and we're talking about this in lieu of this tragedy, which is, we've morphed into this conversation now. But I just, again, I loved every minute of it. I loved every single season, even the bad ones. I loved the fact that I, you know, had all these great teammates, all these great stories, like you were just talking about, you and Rascona at Bellport. I had the same, but I had 20,000 more.
Oh yeah, after that, yep.
which is why I would never change a thing. But I am also glad that there has been an awakening of such over the last 25 years of how to try to limit these things as best they can. You know, and they put out all these statistics, the NFL does. Look, the statistics, the concussion may be going down, and maybe that's what the stats show and the independent neurologists show. But at the end of the day, any player that goes out there could be paralyzed tomorrow. We've seen kids die on the football field. We've seen kids being paralyzed in the football field. We know that there's CTE because of repeated blows to the head. We know all that. And yet, every single one of these players that is playing in junior high, high school, college, and the pros all knows the risk, and the parents know the risk, too.
Yes, and as we sit here today, 100%, all the information is out there. Right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
You must remember this is a podcast about the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. I see Jerry's got one of his Flag and Anthem t-shirts on there that they sent us, some summer t-shirts. Are they not the best t-shirts in the world?
Very
the
comfortable.
Softest.
Yep.
The little stretchy sweat technology.
That like, too.
It's sweat all
they're
over
very
my
light.
Shorts
they're nice
yesterday.
To sleep in.
I had, oh, there's nice to sleep in as well. Yes. I was sweating through my shorts yesterday. I saw a picture. I was like, oh.
Yeah. I was going to say something, but.
Well, it was 98 degrees yesterday.
Yeah, yeah, I know, but he wears these gray shorts.
They were.
And it
they
looks
weren't.
Like they sweat. He sweats through them because I think he's hairy, like from the waist.
It has nothing to do with hair, but it was in the back. You can't really see. They're ruining this, though. This is too early for this. Take that off. We don't want to let people know about this yet.
Well, you just did.
Well, they just did.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll tell that story later about me sweating through the shorts and the whole ceremony and everything. We got a big decision to make, by the way. Got a big decision to make.
We do?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
what's the decision?
We'll talk about it. But the bottom line is because of something that happened yesterday at this tournament, we are now invited to the next stage.
Oh, we are?
Oh, cool.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
We are?
And we got to make a decision. Yep. If we're going to do it or not.
Is it what I wasn't really paying attention. You know me.
Yeah.
I wasn't paying attention. I wanted to get my bag swag.
Yeah.
And, man, by the way, there's a lot of nice stuff in there.
Yeah, thanks to Golf Digest.
Yeah, thank you very much.
And Puma and Cobra.
Oh, my God. Yes. So
we'll explain.
All right.
But it's a pretty incredible.
Because it's not impacting August 11th.
It is not. No.
All good then.
What's August 11th?
We'll be at Pebble Beach.
Oh, yes. That's right.
Yeah, it's not impacting that. It's also not impacting your golf tournament in Jersey.
Ooh, thank God.
It's not impacting that either. But
it's not impacting my golf tournament.
Which is in October, right?
Right, yes.
Nope.
All right. So all right, never mind. You have an update.
Yeah.
We'll talk about this. But the golfing trajectory that Gio has been on the last 3.5 years is nothing short of insane.
Yesterday, I couldn't stop laughing. We'll tell this story. What do you think? 7 o'clock, maybe?
Yeah, we'll just kind of lighten up everything.
Yes.
And
But we'll get into that at 7 o'clock and the big decision that we must make, and we'll get your opinion on it as well.
All right, Jerry, what's going on, man?
Well, we'll lighten it up as well since you guys handle all the serious stuff. We're brought to you by Sansone Auto Mall, Woodbridge, New Jersey, and that's the nonsense, and that's the games last night. Late last night, you had the Mets and the Padres. So a lot went on in this game. The Mets were up because of the Mark Vientos grand slam. They give up the lead. They're behind. They get a home run from Ronnie Mauricio in the ninth inning to tie. And then in the ninth, you had this happen with a runner on first.
He does square, pushes the butt back to Soto. He has a play at second, threw it wide, and he's safe. Soto had plenty of time to get Bogarts at second, but he fired it wide. Lindor has to come off the bag, and the Padres have the first two men on in the ninth.
And, of course, the other Soto,
welcome
the one the Mets just got on Friday. Yes.
Welcome to the Mets.
Not a great throw. Could have got the lead runner, didn't. First and second, and then a couple of batters later with two out. It looked like he might get himself out of trouble. He did not.
Ball and glove all together. 1-2. Line toward left center field. Nimmo in. Can't get it. Plays it on a hop. Iglesias rounds third. The throw not in time. Iglesias slides in, and the Padres have walked it off 7-6.
And that was Keith Rad on Mets Odyssey Radio. Gary Cohen before that on SNY. And yeah, 7-6, the final as the Padres take the series opener from the Mets. Here was Carlos Mendoza talking specifically about Gregory Soto in that last inning, the throwing error, how he did, and then, of course, losing the game.
Didn't make a play on a bunt, and then with two outs, Diaz got him, you know. But I thought he threw strikes live on the fastball. They just got him there after we didn't make a play.
And Diaz is Elias Diaz, who had the game-winning hit. Also, earlier in the game, had an RBI single as well. Didn't make a play, referencing the bunt right back to him. Did make a play on another bunt to third base to get the lead runner, but not enough. Here was Frankie Montas. He does not factor into this decision. He also had a short stint charged with 5 runs over 4 1/3. I'm getting to one play that you're not going to like, Boomer, but here was Montas. Why such a short outing?
To be honest, I didn't think I was hitting my spots how I wanted to. They're a really good hitting team, you know. When you follow behind the count, you know, and kind of force you to come into the zone, they're going to put a good swing on the ball.
Now, they scored 5 runs in that fifth inning. When he left the game, it was 5-3. Brazaban didn't cover first on what would have been the third.
He got there late. I don't know what the hell he was doing. I mean,
yeah, he didn't react. And then Todd Zeal is like you got to go as soon as the ball's hit to that side. He was thinking that Brazaban probably thought it was down the line. Pete makes a great play on it, and then he's just late getting there.
It's amazing to me. It's just amazing to me that we continue to talk about
fundies.
Yeah, but just the lack of understanding of what you're supposed to be doing. As soon as the ball's hit, you go.
Yeah,
there's no waiting, and if the ball gets past Pete, then okay, but at least you're in your position. And
never gave a shot.
Frankly, what'd they win, 7 in a row?
Yep. Yes.
They had 7 in a row. I wanted 10, but they got 7, and, you know, they didn't have a lot of hits last night, but Vientos and Mauricio both hitting home runs, and Mauricio starting to hit a little bit more. I mean, it's good to see a lot of these young guys starting to come on a little bit, and it's one of the reasons why they're in the middle of a winning streak. But I don't know. It's frustrating. What, you know, anytime they lose, and a new guy gives up, you know, makes a mistake. I don't know, it's just frustrating. What can I tell you?
They stay a game and a half ahead of the Phillies. Sean Manaea, the start tonight in San Diego. Philadelphia wound up losing to the White Sox 6-2. During the course of the day, we got word that Bryce Harper cursed out Rob Manfred, who I guess wanted to have a meeting about the
salary
situation that's coming up. Yes. Harper not thrilled that everyone seems to know that happened.
It getting out there, obviously I don't want that to happen in those meetings. I don't want those things to be out there. I think, you know, when we have meetings with the commissioner or anybody else that comes to our clubhouse, those are good meetings to have.
But it's not meant for us. But that did get out, and that was a story yesterday. Now, as for the Yankees, not great. They were trailing, runner on in the ninth. The final hope was Austin Wells.
And a pitch from Fairbanks. Breaking ball swung on into left, right center field and may get down. DeLuca runs it down, makes the catch on the warning track. at the 385 sign, and that is the ball game as DeLuca throws the ball up into the bleacher.
And that was the ball game. 4-2, the final score as the Rays take the opener from the Yankees.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
There were a couple plays in this game where I guess these plays are not ruled errors, they're ruled hits.
Talk about the Volpe play at short, probably.
Yeah, how about the Jazz Chisholm play at second? How about the misplay by, I don't know, was it Efros or somebody?
No, I don't know if I saw that one.
I mean, like, God almighty. They just can't make plays.
Yeah. Very, what do you call it? Very
routine?
Nice. No, I was going to say very nice official score for the hitters. I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, I'm not saying these, I don't know. I mean, that is a huge issue. There's no errors, but there were errors.
It wasn't
they were
clean.
Not ruled errors.
Well, Volpe was getting booed after that play.
I know.
I mean, it wasn't even an error. He's getting
raked over the coals. Base. Jazz, I don't know what he was doing. Like, I don't know if he was just, you know, going. It just seemed like he was going after it hard enough and to get the ball to first base. I don't know. Just it. You talk about frustrating. The thing that frustrates me more than anything is just misplay after misplay.
Sloppy defense?
Yes.
That's the thing that really gets you going?
Yeah, it bothers me.
Your guy was in the booth last night. Your guy.
Yeah, Doncic.
Doncic.
Right. And, you know, somebody posted something to me on X yesterday about, hey, look at this guy. He's on the cover. He's now getting...
Men's Health.
On the cover of Men's Health.
Shredded and everything.
Yeah.
Good for him. He's waking up. He lost about $85 to $100 million from... You know, drinking too many beers and getting too fat in Dallas. And Dallas is like, we're not dealing with this. Let him go somewhere else and be more motivated and pay higher taxes. And that's exactly what happened. And now he's responding in kind.
Yeah, looks great.
He's responding in kind. Of good for him. It's just like Mekhi Becton. You know, when Mekhi Becton got ballooned up over to 400 pounds. So sooner or later, somebody has to say to him, hey, you want to stay in here? You want to make $20 million a year?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. What are you looking at me for, man?
Slim down.
Just saying, it looks good. You got to give him credit.
I am giving him credit, but you know the only reason this was even a discussion point is like people could not believe that Dallas was going to trade him. And I told you they traded him because he was completely out of shape, mailing it in, and you know now all of a sudden he's in L.A. He's around all the beautiful people. He's hearing the criticism about his weight and the lack of commitment to the game of basketball. And now he's been incentivized, you know, rightfully so, to get his ass in gear.
Should be so lucky that Jalen Brunson mails it in all the way to the finals this year.
Yeah.
Don't look at me like that. He did take them to the NBA finals.
Yeah, and then, you know, they could have given him a $345 million extension, and he showed up like he was still partying for making it to the finals.
Fat Brunson, and then it's in the NBA finals.
No.
That's
not happening with him.
You should understand, like, the way that these players are looked at, you know, I mean, they are a commodity, and you have to decide whether or not you are going to invest the amount of money that these teams are investing in these players. And if you feel like a player, you know, isn't putting in the commitment, or you've been around this player and the player has habits that you don't like, you're not going to keep that player. And I know that they took an immense amount of criticism trading him, but I saw exactly why they traded him. We give him $345 million, and this is the way he's going to act? Now, if this were the Luka that were in Dallas,
yeah,
they would have given him the contract.
If I've said this once, I've said it 10 million times, trading him wasn't the issue. It was the not opening up to the rest of the league and then doing some weird deal in the middle of the night with the
Dallas
Los Angeles
Maverick
Lakers.
Fan, they could have traded. The only person they probably could have traded him for would have been SGA or somebody along those lines where they would have been happy. But the fact that they did trade him in the first place, is that's the Dallas. They never wanted to trade him. But then again, that's the fan. That's the fans not dealing with the player every single day.
Tigers beat the Diamondbacks 5-1. Eugenio Suarez left the game hit by a pitch on his hand. X-rays negative. Guardians closer Emmanuel Clase placed on non-disciplinary paid leave through August 31st.
Paid leave?
He is now, yeah.
Well, they're investigating.
He's being
not
investigated
sure.
for all these OO pitches that they deem non-competitive, and they're worried about prop bets and gambling. So, yes, and they've got his teammate is still under investigation as well for something very similar. So that's going on in Cleveland. Former Cubs Hall of Famer Ryne Sandberg passed away. He was only 65. He died from a battle of prostate cancer. And then just a couple of things from football very quickly. We'll get to the sound from Aaron Glenn and Malik Nabers. Those two did speak yesterday. Tyler Guyton of the Cowboys was feared to have torn his ACL. Turns out it's a bone fracture in his knee, so he'll be out 4 to 6 weeks rather than the season. The Broncos and Cortland Sutton reach agreement on 4 years, $92 million. And we'll have sound from Deion Sanders next hour. He had his bladder removed, doctors finding a cancerous tumor.
The entire bladder?
That's, I copied and pasted that. I thought that was kind of weird, but
it was a bladder, but they also did some other manipulation internally to make sure that he can live somewhat of a normal life. And he still wants to coach, so good for him.
Yes. So more coming up next time.
All right. Thank you, Jerry. It's Boomer and Geo coming to you live at the Build Ford Tough Studio.
You don't just live in your home, you live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by StreetEasy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
You must remember this as the podcast dedicated to stories from the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Stories of sex, murder, institutional racism, bad men, sad women, fascist gossip columnists, and much more. Our new season is called The Old Man is Still Alive, and it's about directors like Alfred Hitchcock and John Ford who got started in the silent era, but were still making movies in the psychedelic 60s. Follow and listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Going to get some calls in now. Of course, we opened up with a very serious situation in New York City yesterday with the active shooter and the lost life of a police officer, NYPD police officer, and of course, three others. And the NFL was something that was on the mind of the shooter in a note saying that it was CTE that caused him to be in this mental state and wanted his brain studied. So a lot of things that are very important to us, unfortunately, came to a head yesterday in New York City. Obviously, this city, the people who protect this city in law enforcement and the NFL all in one. So we'll get a call in on that and then call in on some other things. A little bit lighter than that. Dan in West Orange. Good morning, Dan. How are you?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. Good morning. What's up?
I'm not going to take much of your time. I just want to tell you a short story that's very close to me because this story hits home. So my brother, I got a text message from my sister yesterday that my brother-in-law is fine, right? He works for Blackstone on 33rd or 32nd floor, wherever he was. He was working from home yesterday, and he's fine. However, I was in a mass shooting in Las Vegas in 2017, and I suffer from severe PTSD and survivor's guilt. And I'm just encouraging anybody that's involved in this in any way to seek help immediately, because it's really important to get your help right away. So if anybody's involved in this, I know you have a lot of listeners, you have to reach out right away, because my PTSD didn't hit me until about 3 to 4 months after the shooting, and I still suffer to this day, and that was in 2017.
And that was whoever's listening. And Dan, that was at the country concert out there?
Yeah. I saw things that I never wanted to see. And I also want to thank the NYPD, anybody that chooses a profession that they go in and they have the ability to get killed, or it's amazing to me. I was there for a concert, and people just went to work yesterday, and the whole story is unfolding right now to me, but it's awful to hear this again because it does touch really close to home. And there's help out there for people that are going through this. And you just have to find it.
Yeah, we appreciate you sharing that, Dan. It is very important. It's one of the first things that you said, Boomer, was that, you know, we know about the victims that pass away and their families, but there's also people there that are witnessing this that that live with it for the rest of their lives and are, you know, never the same.
Well, that previous call was a perfect spokesperson for that. And it's a real deal, man. And I'm sure the NFL is going to offer counseling to their employees. I would imagine that Blackstone would be doing the same. Or anybody, any other company, maybe the building owners. I think it's Rudin Properties. So we know
Bill it's
Rudin.
Pretty common these days.
Yeah, it is pretty common to immediately get in there and try to help these folks be able to go back into that office because they'll be reminded of what they were a part of and what they saw. So, yeah, it's there's so many tentacles to something like this and the amount of victims. I mean, and we've seen that from 9/11. We see that from mass shootings in schools. We see it from, you know, nightclub mass shootings. Any sort of situation like this, there are the outer ring of people that are around that have experienced it, just like that previous caller, and it affects the rest of their life. And that's why I'm sure the NFL, Blackstone, anybody in that building, the building owner, which I think is Rudin Properties, a friend of ours, by the way, and I'm sure that they will do everything they possibly can to make sure that everything returns to normal as quickly as possible.
Yeah, there's no way to transition out of serious stuff like this, but on Friday we were over at Cherry Valley Country Club, Jerry and I, and there was a group of guys who lived on the golf course that were just waiting at one of the tee boxes with a cooler and chairs set up, and we're drinking and having a good time. We're big fans of the show. And they asked me to do a impersonations for them live on the spot, and I felt like I had to. And of course, they asked for the Joe Beningo impersonation. So, what if for whatever reason people need to bring me Joe Beningo information?
Yeah,
that's like a thing. Like they think Joe Beningo, and they think me.
Well, I mean, you worked with him, you love the guy.
Yeah, so
you do talk about him a lot.
Yeah, I mean, but I think I talk about him a lot because people want me to talk about him a lot. I'm not trying; just things like this happen. You know, like these guys. Hey, can you do that? And we got Jimmy in Warren County here, who is also now. Did you hear what Joe B. said? So I am curious about this, Jimmy. Good morning. How are you?
Boomer and Gio, what's going on?
Hey, Jimmy, what's up, man?
Not much. I'm just driving around, working. I heard you guys talking about Brazzaband.
Yeah.
And it sparked in my head like 3 Saturdays ago, maybe about 3 weeks ago. I was going to get breakfast, and I had Joe on. And he was calling him Barbizon, you know? he's like, yeah, Zool. He's like, Zool, they brought in Barbizon, and I like Barbizon. So I'm like, I wonder if Gio's ever heard that. And
no,
I wasn't trying to bring you the impression, Gio. You know what I mean?
No,
but you guys reminded me of it.
Yeah, Jimmy, that's that is funny. I do love listening to the radio station. However, like that early Saturday morning slot is a time that I'm not listening to the radio station. I'm usually doing something else. But I did not hear. I did not hear that.
I'm just a dummy. I'm stupid.
Barbizon. Barbizon sounds like a old school circus act, you know, like ladies and gentlemen.
Barbizon was like a beauty school.
Oh, was it?
It was a beauty school. Yeah.
Oh, that's of course why.
That's
he knows
why.
That.
That's why.
Yeah,
he
you know, because you know what she looks like. She looks like she went to Barbizon.
Right,
that's what
exactly.
She looks like. I mean, well, honey, would you go to Barbizon? I mean, you're so beautiful. You definitely is. You, well, I mean, come on. Did you go to Barbizon or did you not go to Barbizon?
Yeah. I kind of like. I don't vividly remember it, but it's like in a distant memory of mine that, yeah, I think Barbizon was a beauty school that women would go to become hairdressers.
It sounds like Barbasol, which is what I'm thinking.
Which is what you shave with.
Yeah. All right, so Fleegs, you have it there? Barbizon Beauty School?
Yeah, Barbizon Beauty School on Broadway in the city, like right around Times Square.
There you go.
Yeah.
And what year do you see that article?
70s? Not an article. It just looks like it's been around for
is it still
a
there?
While. Yeah, it opens
there.
At 2:00 on Wednesday.
Huh. Unbelievable. Yeah,
that's the current address. It's on Broadway near Times Square.
Yeah, I mean, I would. What does Zoo do in these situations? Like the guy said, Zoo, they brought in Barbizon. I mean, does Zoo go, Joe, that's not his name?
No, like, he's probably saying the Barbasol like jingle that I was looking for online. I can only find older commercials.
You know,
but the one that people like our age is known, Resco and Oates.
Yeah, but does Zoo correct Joe or no?
No,
probably not. I hear this show a lot. He does not. He just flows with it and just keeps talking about, you know, the Mets and, you know, relievers.
But
and,
I mean,
and Barbizon.
Barbizon. I mean, don't you have to correct them? Be like, Joe, this is just, by the way, you know, it's Brazaban, not Barbizon.
I'm looking at Barbizon alumni. They have a lot of modeling, acting, personal development. Carmen Electra is one of their alumni.
This has grown over the years.
So Joe Beningo,
the complete buffoon that I am.
I mean, the fact that he.
It's a beauty. You know, I dated a couple girls that went to Barbizon. I did. This was a long freaking time ago. This is Barbizon, sorry. Bro, but you know, let me tell you something. We're talking like probably 67, 68. I'm in my late teens, and these broads at a Barbizon. Let me tell you, bro.
Starting in 1939, it's been around. So this is for a long time.
All right. I remember TV commercials. They had, I believe.
You just go there to get hot or something? Like, what is
it? No, I think initially it was a beauty school where mostly women, I'm sure some guys would go, but to become hairdressers. So it was a Barbizon school.
Barbizon modeling and acting school.
Yep. Yeah, okay. So now it's probably morphed into something new and somebody kept the name. And I don't know if it's the same entity that was around back when I remember these commercials.
You want to hear their two-sentence brand promise?
Yes.
The Barbizon experience is about discovering what makes you special and developing your one-of-a-kind star, stars in quotes, quality for the whole world to see. Our expert modeling and acting training, along with life skills instruction, will give you the confidence and tools to shine for a lifetime.
So it's morphed into this.
Yeah.
As opposed to a beauty school, it's morphed into this other thing.
Yeah, but they also don't teach you how to cover first base at Barbizon. That's one thing they don't do.
I mean, so these pitchers, you know, they come in every other game, come in for an inning. Like, you can't just do your job.
Yeah,
I remember, the simple thing that Bill Belichick used to tell all his players, just do your job. You know, do your job. That's all you have to do. You don't have to do anybody else's job. Just do your job and do it to the best of your ability. Simple, to the point, and that's all you have to do. And that's the thing. I know it's 162 games, and I know it's probably like his 35th appearance. But, you know, that doesn't give you the excuse of not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
You must remember this as the podcast dedicated to stories from the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Stories of sex, murder, institutional racism, bad men, sad women, fascist gossip columnists, and much more. Our new season is called The Old Man Is Still Alive, and it's about directors like Alfred Hitchcock and John Ford who got started in the silent era, but were still making movies in the psychedelic 60s. Follow and listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.